Oh, I didn't see you there. Hey guys, how's it going?
Us or the listeners?
Everybody, I don't discriminate.
All right, well,
that's where the only
ones. We're the only ones who can talk, so we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast. I'm Drew.
I'm Bill.
I'm James.
That's boring, but anyway. And today, we're talking about I rewatched it today for the fourth time, and I've now definitively decided it's my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
Okay.
And that movie is Easy Rider, written by Peter Fonda?
Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper. Yeah.
No.
Wait. Yeah.
No. Terry Southern. Terry Southern and Peter Fonda wrote it. Dennis Hopper directed and edited it.
And Peter Fonda also produced it.
Paul Lewis produced it.
On the thing right when the movie starts, it says Peter Fonda directed it.
Peter Fonda didn't direct it.
I mean, produce it.
Can't trust Billy anymore, can we?
I guess not. You've totally lost your credibility.
Open the window. I'm going to go jump out it.
All right. But Easy Rider, released 1969, starring Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda. One of the most iconic movies of all time, and the greatest movie of all time, if you ask me.
So, hold on. You said Dennis Hopper edited it?
Yeah.
It's so funny for me to imagine, like, Dennis Hopper just, like, hunched over a computer, like, typing. He's like, oh, wait, what?
Well, back then, you're cutting film. And
yeah.
Ugh,
it was a much more hands-on, it was analog, which I really like the idea of that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really, like, analog was... Pretty much they kept on doing analog up until, like, the mid-90s, really. And then that's when, like, computer really kind of started. Digital stuff.
Dude,
really
digital's
started.
The end of cinema, bro.
No.
I shoot everything on 16mm.
I just put everything into...
My iPhone actually records on film.
How does that work, Drew? Where do you put the film in?
It goes right in the top.
Okay.
I could see that being, like, a thing where it's, like... It, you know, you plug it in with a USB and then it just, like, prints it out. It's, like, so useless and unnecessary, like, but just to make you feel, like, retro.
Like a Polaroid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Polaroid.
Yeah, they still make the Polaroids.
Yeah,
and then you can...
There's actually, like, a company right now that's, like, getting pretty big recently that's, like, revitalizing the Polaroid aesthetic, and, like, they're selling Polaroid cameras online.
Well, I know Polaroid as a company still exists, but it's not really a company in the way that it was. It was just bought by, I can't remember what larger company that just uses its name for, it's more of a brand now than it is an actual company making products.
Right.
But anyway, Billy, had you seen Easy Rider before?
I had not seen Easy Rider. I've been meaning to see Easy Rider for a very, very long time, mainly because of how influential it is. And pretty much the tops, like, every single list I, like, looked at that's, like, most influential movie of all time or, like, best movie of all time, that's definitely on, like, up there when it comes to those lists. So I saw it for the first time 2 days ago? Yeah, 2 days ago. And I really liked it.
Really liked it. James?
I would watch it again, but I didn't like it.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was actually expecting to love this because it's like, I don't know, it just seems like my kind of thing. Like, I like camping and, like, you know, anti-redneck stuff. So.
Yeah, that's like the most generalization of the movie I've ever heard of.
It's not the best anti-redneck camping movie.
And it's
ever
not
made.
Even like the right generalization, really. I mean, yeah, they camp, but like,
no, you could say a road movie is also a camping movie.
I kind of like, you know, road trips and shit. And
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Like The Road. It's a pretty dicey road trip.
Yeah, it's also really funny.
But a road trip, nonetheless. The Road's the best buddy comedy I think I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Do you want to elaborate on the inside joke you just made?
Oh yeah, I forgot. So if you know The Road, which is a movie based on the book The Road by Cormac McCarthy, it's super depressing. It's a father and a son who are trying to find solace in a post-apocalyptic world, and everything's gray and covered in ash, and it's cold, and there are cannibals, and it's just not the place to raise a child. And but on Netflix, the summary for the movie says a father and a son try to trek across America in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. This road trip's pretty dicey, which I think when I saw that, I was just appalled. It's so inappropriate given what the movie's about and the themes that it deals with. And I don't know if the movie's still on Netflix, but if it is, I hope that they've changed that.
It's honestly like saying, oh, Requiem for a Dream, a couple friends on go on some quirky adventures with drugs. It's like, I mean, no, don't, no, it doesn't work.
All right, back to Easy Rider. James, did you have anything more to say? You said you didn't like it. You expected that you would like it.
Yeah. So, I already said why I thought I would like it, but the reason I didn't like it is just because I found it relatively boring. And I don't know. It was just like the message appealed to me. I liked the message, but I was like, I don't know. I just wish it wasn't so boring.
I would say that I kind of agree with you for the first half. I wouldn't go so far to say it's boring, but I would call it really slow, and I did kind of find myself checking the time a couple times. But once Jack Nicholson pops up, it feels like I kind of started enjoying the movie a lot more, because Jack Nicholson kind of felt like the missing piece of the puzzle to me. So,
and then he gets killed like 10 minutes later.
But I still enjoyed the rest. It feels like, okay, so here's what it feels like. It feels like they didn't know how to start the movie, and then it's like, oh, I think we have somewhat of a plot once Jack Nicholson comes in, and that's when I started kind of enjoying the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending, I kind of want to, I'm pretty sure I know what Dennis Hopper was trying to do with that. Like, it represents the end of the 60s era, I'm assuming. Is that what it's supposed to represent?
It doesn't really represent.
But it just felt like he didn't know how to end the movie, so he's like, fuck it, let's just kill both of them.
To me,
you don't think that's the greatest ending you've ever seen in your life?
It just felt so abrupt and out. It just felt like he didn't know how to end the movie.
It definitely wasn't the best ending I've ever seen in my life.
It leaves me speechless every time.
It was
chills down my spine. I can't even. Oh my god.
It was a good ending. I really liked the ending. But to me, it was like, it wasn't like the end of the 60s. It was more like how society will inevitably turn against anybody who's like free spirited and like stands out from the crowd.
And it's like, because you remember the scene where they're in the whorehouse and Captain America looks up at the quote that says, death is just a man's reputation being sealed on whether he was good or bad, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then when he sees that quote, briefly cuts to the end shot, which I think is amazing. I love that.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
The editing in the movie is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing short of, I don't even know how Dennis Hopper could have been so ahead of the curve. Because there's nothing like that was done before.
Yeah, it was the reason why I like it so much is because it's just so different from anything made in that era. Because I've seen, out of all the movies I've seen, this feels the most unique out of all of them, and the most like modern, if you know what I'm
saying. It feels the most authentic to me. Yeah. And what I like most about Easy Rider is that it's a movie that could never be made again.
No. I also like, because I mean, this is also kind of like what they did. They pretty much just went around and just filmed stuff. This was the most slice of life movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Where it's literally like you were literally just following these guys around. I honestly wouldn't say really, other than like, oh, they want to go to New Orleans. That's like the best plot you can really get out of this movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more just going on the journey with these two characters.
Yeah, and I really honestly, like, I loved the the genuine feel you got in the scenes where it's like, well, in all of the scenes, honestly, there's a very genuine feel. But to me, especially with the campfire scenes, I was like, oh my God. Like, I felt so much like I was like actually there with them. It was really nice.
Those were all improvised.
Yeah.
And anytime they were smoking weed, they were actually smoking weed.
Huh.
This time, since it was my fourth time watching it, I watched it with a commentary, with Dennis Hopper's commentary.
Was it just Dennis Hopper?
Yeah, they have another one with Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda, and Paul Lewis, the one I wanted to choose, but I accidentally turned on the Dennis Hopper one instead, and I was like, I don't care, I'll just listen to that one. And yeah, he was talking about how every campfire scene, they just kind of improvised it. And like, for example, in the first one, when he and Captain America are like sitting there, and then he's kind of energetic, and then he's like, oh, like you seem like down, man, like why are you down? It was because in the previous takes they'd done, Dennis Hopper noticed that Peter Fonda seemed like out of it and or like down. And so just the fact that the characters, like the actors' emotions, were, they just found a way to fit it into the characters. And the characters aren't even really characters. They just take pop culture from the era and they kind of put it on these two free spirit types. And then that's kind of what they did. And Dennis Hopper in the commentary is talking about how he was inspired by pop art. And, you know, the pop art movement, it's all about just taking pop culture and then putting it as art. It was this whole ironic thing, you know, with for example, Andy Warhol and the Campbell's soup cans, where people relate to it simply because they know what a Campbell's soup can is, and then that's kind of the message that the piece is conveying. That's kind of what Dennis Hopper was inspired by in making Easy Rider, and so that's why he chose motorcycles, because motorcycles had this free spirit sort of connotation attached to them. He does a lot of juxtaposing the motorcycles with horses, and Dennis Hopper's character wears the buckskin with the tassels. You have Jack Nicholson's character wearing a football helmet. It's all just these American symbols that he kind of puts together onto these characters, and they're not really even people.
I mean, I don't really know what to, I don't know what to say in response to that. Like, I agree.
What I'm saying is that the movie is not even, I think it's on a whole other level. It's a class of its own. It's just a fantastic film. One of the things I love so much about it is how so it's almost documentary like in the way it was shot, and that's not only because they used, you know, lens flares, and there's that whole sequence in Mardi Gras that was filmed on 16mm, and that was actually the first kind of test runs they did, was what they shot at Mardi Gras. And Dennis Hopper was talking about in the commentary how it was like a complete disaster. He had a bunch of people working on the movie who all wanted to be directors. They were all spurting their ideas, and it was all over the place. And I think the footage that, I can't remember who filmed the footage that they ended up using, but and so there's just all this stuff that went into it that could only have occurred because of the time that they were filming. Like, a lot of the stories that they tell, that their characters tell in the movie, were stories that they heard on the road, you know, going between locations. Obviously, everything in the movie was shot on a location. And one thing that Dennis Hopper said in the commentary that I thought was really interesting was that the motorcycles that they use in the movie were built by a gang member that Dennis Hopper met during the civil rights movement when he was, you know, working with people during the civil rights movement. And it's just stuff like that, where these motorcycles were I don't know. It's just that it feels like a collaborative effort of an entire era. And it's something that can't be done again. It just captured something in that moment. It's like lightning in a bottle.
I was going to mention the before like Drew just kind of started talking, I was going to mention the visual aesthetic of the movie, because the visuals in this are just absolutely incredible. I just loved how, especially when they're in the desert, I think the sequences filmed in the desert are probably my favorite, like most visually pleasing stuff. You know, when they pick up the hitchhiker and they like walk on the
when they climb on the Indian
rock formation.
Ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you look at the sunset, like those kind of things, I don't know, that those kind of things just kind of add to the whole documentarian, like follow them, not really, just kind of slice of life where it's just like almost like stop and view the scenery kind of. Do you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. And the thing that I kept thinking the whole time I was watching it is Easy Rider feels like someone from now went back in time and then filmed a movie in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so special about it, is that it just feels so real. Like, you're not going to get a more accurate depiction of what life was like than what you see right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing that I was thinking about while I was watching it, is like, this is like, it's so weird. Like, I feel like nowadays, if they made a movie like this, it would be like, I don't know. It would just, it feels like there's nothing distinct about this generation that would like stand out like the 60s or 70s, where it's just like so unique and colorful. And, you know, it's so, everybody's so divided in personality and like characteristics. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore, I feel like.
Honestly, it feels like our current era is really similar to the 60s in a lot of ways.
I think,
at least politically.
Definitely politically, but not like culturally. Like culturally, we're like, I just feel like we're so dumbed down now. Everything's so basic now.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on where you are. Obviously, where we are, we're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
In the suburbs, everything always looks the same.
I just don't see a lot in pop culture either. Pop culture just seems to be pretty normal people.
Well, I mean, it also doesn't help that like most pop culture is kind of like repeating previous things that happened in pop culture.
That's
true. Like looking at the big blockbusters that are coming out nowadays, they're all based on something, either a book or a comic book or a remake of a previous movie. It doesn't that's where I think That's why I try and get people to watch like a bunch of because people complain about there not being a lot of original content out there when it comes to film, but all you have to do is just kind of like look at the independent circuit or like the Oscar circuit, and that's where you find all the original content. You know what I, like?
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to someone at work a couple days ago complaining about how everything's either based on a true story or something like that. And then I asked them if they saw like something like Patty Cakes or like The Big Sick, something that's like original and like that's not like a Marvel movie or anything. Not that they're not, I know how much you're not a fan of like the Marvel movies, but I like the Marvel movies. But it always helps to kind of expand your horizons and to look at other things, which I was trying to talk to my friend at work about, just kind of like, because he was really he's like, oh, I haven't heard about this, I don't really want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And I even told I told Edward and Jason about Patty Cakes the other day, and Jason saw Patty Cakes and he was like, oh, I didn't expect it to be as good as it actually was.
From Jason?
Yeah, Snyder.
I wouldn't expect Jason to say that. He's, why? Why did he expect it to be bad? I'm confused.
He didn't say it was, from what the text said, it was better than what I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
Patty Cake, oh God, I cannot bring myself to watch that. It looks like,
it's really good.
It's incredible.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. Because, one, I don't like movies where they sing.
They don't sing.
They don't.
They rap.
Same thing. I have to, I have to act impressed. Oh,
wait, you didn't like Sing Street?
I didn't like the parts where they sing, really.
Sang.
Whatever.
That's heresy.
I don't understand. Yeah, that really sucks that bothers you.
That movie is incredible.
Don't get me wrong. The music in the movie is amazing, but I just, like, I don't know. It's like, it makes me uncomfortable when anybody, music makes me uncomfortable. Like, people singing for me, I'm like, no.
So you're not a fan of
music? I'm the same way, but when people react positively to food, like when they're eating and they're like, oh, like this is amazing. I cringe every single time that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like people reacting to food.
So I know that happens in, Master of None.
Now that you put it in that
was season
context,
one.
Like, yes, that really annoys me.
That was season one, and I can't remember what it was that they were eating.
Well, Aziz Ansari did it with, like, pork. He's like, No, his cousin did it.
His cousin and Dev and his cousin go to the barbecue.
That was season two. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, because his cousin I already thought was a bad actor.
Yeah.
And then when he was like, this is amazing. I'm like, no one reacts that way to food. Like, I don't.
Dev, if we want to be accurate here with the names, he was annoying in the Nashville episode.
No, I like the way he did that.
So
this is really good. Like, this is really good too. It felt more natural. It felt like something that someone would actually do. It's not like when someone takes a bite and they're like, does not get better than that, especially when they point at the dish like this, when they do that point, especially if it synchronizes with their chewing. So they're like, I can't stand it.
You're giving a visual example on a podcast.
Literally makes me want to die.
I think they know what you're talking about.
Okay, point of this whole conversation is that what you're talking about with independent movies being the hotbed for what's new and innovative and different is what Easy Rider started.
Yeah.
And it being that, on top of it being this time capsule of the 60s, and it being about as coked up as Dennis Hopper was during the entire production.
Yeah. I will say this. It does feel like this was made by someone who was drug fueled the entire time. Not saying that's a bad thing, but you can feel like it was definitely made
by
someone who's on drugs. Yeah. Also the soundtrack. Can we talk about the soundtrack?
I read something interesting. I'm sure Drew already knows this, but and you actually might already know this, but hopefully not, so I can tell new information. They were on such a low budget that they couldn't afford to make their own soundtrack. So Dennis Hopper just like threw in classic oldies as fillers. And then when like the producers heard it, they were like, no, that's really good. Keep those in. Keep those songs in.
I did not hear that.
And that like started a trend of using non-original soundtracks in movies. Like apparently
that's like the big thing. And that's come being a resurgence now with like Baby Driver and Guardians using it. Yeah, that it's going
to
be like a whole.
Well, it's funny because it's actually more expensive to use real songs than it is to just compose a soundtrack now, which is funny.
Nowadays, I don't think it was back then though.
Well, yeah, it wasn't. He talked about that too in the
commentary.
In the commentary where he said, although he didn't say that they used it as filler. In the commentary, he said that he was just putting songs in that he was listening to and that he set out to make a time capsule of sound is what he called it.
Would it be?
So it didn't sound like it was a happy accident in the commentary. He made it sound like that was his intention.
Oh, I was going to ask, did they put it down as like a temp track or something? Because that's what a lot of, when people make movies now, they usually get like, before they record the music, they usually like bring music from other movies and put it down as like a temp track or like temp music.
Well, I remember in the book, they said it was like a temp track.
So it was like temporary, like a filler.
Yeah, I'm just saying that Dennis Hopper didn't say that it was a temp track in the commentary, which I think is funny.
He just wanted to seem like a genius.
Well, and also,
he's an old guy. His memory's probably faded by the time he was making that commentary.
Yeah, he took a lot of drugs, so I wouldn't doubt that he doesn't remember a lot of the production. But another thing is, Peter Fonda wanted Crosby, Stills, and Nash to do a song for it, and they actually were going to. They agreed. But Dennis Hopper did not like Crosby, Stills, and Nash, so he went behind Peter Fonda's back and told Crosby, Stills, and Nash, no, we're not going to use you, without consulting Peter Fonda.
That's bogus.
And, yeah, Peter Fonda got really mad at him about that. But in the commentary, Dennis Hopper is kind of like, he's telling that story, and then he's like, yeah, and so I kind of sabotaged that plan, you know. But anyway, I just think it's funny how he glosses over it like it was just a funny story that him and Peter Fonda could look back and laugh on.
Hey, wait, hold on. Tell me whose voice this is, because every time I look up Dennis Hopper, the image that they show makes me think of this voice. All right. And I know it's a real impression of a celebrity. I just know it's not Dennis Hopper because he's not British. But here's the impression. I'm Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper.
Is that Sean Connery?
Yes, that's who it is.
Sean Connery. I'm Sean Connery.
Wait.
I guess I could see that.
How do the two... I can't see how the two connect.
Look at... Literally Google Dennis Hopper. The picture they use, he's like in a black suit and he's like looking down. He looks so British. He looks like a British old little prick.
Speaking of Dennis Hopper, I cannot believe he was in the Super Mario Brothers movie. That makes me laugh so much.
Who was he?
He was Bowser. He was like, I like the Koopa Special, extra mushrooms, lizard tail. Like,
That makes me really sad.
It blows my mind after watching Easy Rider that there is a scene of him shooting a person with a gun and turning them into a monkey and him just going like, monkey. Like, as good as Easy Rider is, that's the thing I'll remember Dennis Hopper
for.
What
are you talking about? That didn't happen in Easy Rider.
The Super Mario Brothers movie.
He shot someone with a gun?
It was a gun that turns people into monkeys.
It's like a Mario gun.
Oh, okay. See, I thought he killed somebody and then turned, like, the body into a monkey.
Well, Hopper alienated, like, a lot of people over this production. It made a lot of people mad.
And then he also was in Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's been in some pretty shitty movies.
Jaws Waterworld?
No, like, Waterworld, like Kevin Costner Waterworld, the one that's, like, one of the most expensive movies of all time.
I've never heard of it.
The original cut of Easy Rider was over 4 hours long.
Wow, that makes sense to me.
And he wanted it to... Dennis Hopper was like, that's the cut. That's the one. And they were like, we can't release a four-hour movie. He wanted it to be a special event where you sit down, there's an intermission, where you sell tickets, the assigned seating and everything. And they were like, no, like, we're not going to risk all that on this movie.
Yeah, like a roadshow.
Yeah.
That would have... Is there, like, a special edition of that?
No, I wish.
They should have done, like, Kill Bill, like, Volume 1 and 2, because it was so long.
Yeah, but this doesn't seem like something that would, like, be a Volume 1 and Volume 2 thing. It would just be, like, one movie.
I don't even know if that cut exists. But my favorite scene of the entire movie, the diner scene, in the original Dennis Hopper cut, that scene's 20 minutes long.
Wow.
Which I would love to see, because that's far and away my favorite scene of the movie.
My favorite scene of the movie is the campfire scene, with the first campfire scene with Jack Nicholson.
There's only one, right?
The one where he talks about...
aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he talks about...
the UFO.
Oh, what's he say?
Yeah.
They live among us.
No, he says a certain line a certain way. It makes me...
In the certain Jack Nicholson way.
I thought it was funny the way he reacted, too. He was like, no, man, this is grass. He's like, well, is that what that is? Or, like, however he said it.
He's so, like, Jack Nicholson. And this was, like, his breakout role. And it's so funny to me that he's always been so Jack Nicholson in movies, like, even since his, like, breakout role. Because I love Jack Nicholson. I mean, he has range of how far his Nicholsonisms can go, but he always kind of plays Jack Nicholson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes me sad that he's been in, like, shitty old Rebel movies lately, like The Bucket List and stuff?
It's not really... I mean, that came out like 10 years
ago. It makes me feel like...
Really?
Yeah. He hasn't been in a movie since like 2000... I think The Bucket List was his last movie. Until he... you know they're remaking... Shoot, what's it called? What's the big foreign language movie that got a lot of buzz about the old guy and his daughter last year?
Oh, A Man Called Ove?
No.
Old guy and his daughter. Oh, Tony Erdman.
Yeah, Tony Erdman. They're redoing Tony Erdman with Kristen Wiig, and Jack Nicholson's coming out of retirement to be in that.
What was the other movie that Morgan Freeman was in with that recent...
Going in Style?
Yeah, I thought Jack Nicholson was in that.
Surprisingly, I liked that movie.
You saw Going in Style?
Yeah. It's the only movie I ever saw at Hollywood Palms.
All those movies just make me so sad. Like the old actors that are like, oh, we don't have anything useful to contribute, we just need to make a shitty comedy.
It's not that. It's just that they're offered and they got to pay for their grandkids' college tuition. So they're like, yeah, I'll be in it if it pays me good money.
You act like they're scrounging for rations.
No. If you listen to interviews with Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine, they pretty much do whatever they're offered. Because Michael Caine said in an interview, he'll do any movie where his character is on the first page of the script and the last page of the script.
Why?
That's funny.
Why so desperate?
Because they're actors. It's a job to them.
Like, if Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine were working actors for a very long time, so they probably still have that working actor mentality of a job's a job, and if they offer me a job, I gotta take it. Because when you're a working actor for so long... Those jobs come by few and far between, because Morgan Freeman didn't actually break out until like Shawshank, and he was like 40 or 50, and he had been a working actor for like 25 years.
He couldn't have been 50 in Shawshank. That would make him, what, 80?
I don't know. Morgan Freeman always looks like the same age. He looks like he's been the same age since 1989.
I bet you he's 900 years old.
I mean, he is God.
What movie came out first, Glory or Shawshank?
Glory.
See, that was his breakout role.
Okay, I wanted to say, so going back to the diner scene, did that scene just kind of like pass? Did you not think anything of it?
No, I liked that scene.
Yeah, I liked it.
That one also made, you know, it fueled my hatred for the South.
Yeah, okay, so the sheriff and the guy in the cat hat, those were two locals that they just picked up and said, hey, do you want to be in this movie? And they're like, yeah, okay. And the girls as well were just local girls. And they just said, hey, you want to be in this movie? Okay, the thing is, you like us. You, like, flirt with us. That's your deal. And then the sheriff and the guy in the cat hat, they told him, okay, in this scene, you don't like us because we just raped and murdered two girls outside of town. So you can say anything you want about us because we're horrible people. And so that's why they were trash talking them. And then the other people were actors from a local theater troupe. And Dennis Hopper didn't want to use people from theater troupes because they always came wearing makeup and costumes, and he wanted it to be more realistic than that. And that's why their southern accents sound kind of weird to me.
Which ones were they the one, like the priest and?
No, he was. They were the ones where it's like a gorilla couldn't love that. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, those were actors from a local theater troupe, and their murderers at the end of the movie are there were two people that they found at a gas station.
I love this. I love how they just grabbed people off the street and just like, hey, do you want to be in this little movie? And then turn.
That's
out
what
to
I'm
be
saying.
Those are just
people.
And I'm not out to offend anybody that lives in the South, for the record. I don't hate the South or the people who live in it. I just hate stereotypical. I hate the people that are in Easy Rider. That's the kind of Southerner that I hate, is like the, you know, homophobic, racist pieces of shit.
I mean, those are Southerners from 1969, so...
They exist today.
Yeah, but in far fewer numbers.
Right, okay. Doesn't change my opinion of them.
I'm just saying that if you watch a movie from the 1800s, you wouldn't be able to take any of their behavior and then project it onto today.
All right, but this is not the 1800s. This is the late 1960s, which oftentimes mirrors the society today, especially in this era.
Fair. So you should just say, I don't like racist people.
Okay, yeah. I don't like racist people, but I especially don't like white trash racist people.
Oh, I do want to point out, I mean, I rewatched Dazed and Confused the other night, and I think that this would be a really interesting double feature, just because I think both are like really good slice of life movies, and they encapsulate a certain time period.
But Dazed and Confused is different because it's encapsulating a certain time period through, through nostalgia. It's a nostalgic capturing of the time period, whereas Easy Rider is completely timely in its capturing of the of that era.
I just thought it was like, it'd be an interesting double feature. I don't know. I those two movies just seem they weirdly fit together.
I could see that, but I don't consider Easy Rider a slice of life. Dennis Hopper he wanted to make the first American art film in making Easy Rider.
I think he did that, yeah.
And he was especially the editing he did with the quick edits, that was a lot of inspired by French New Wave and a lot of the European films that were coming out that were trying to do things differently. And that's what I think he succeeded in doing, where it's a movie that's plotless, it's structureless in a lot of ways. It doesn't follow that. It doesn't follow your character arcs. It just kind of, I don't know.
I think you're both right. I think it's a slice of life art film.
Like, I call it a slice of life because it doesn't really have a plot or anything, and it's mainly just shown to show this kind of time period and this kind of lifestyle, I guess.
I didn't like the transitions they did where it was like a flashes of three frames. That just seemed unnecessary and gross. I was like, I don't know. It seemed pointless.
I thought it fit. I thought like if it was real, if it was kind of done in anything else, I think it wouldn't have fit. But I think with this, it fit the tone and the kind of style that Hopper set up.
I don't think the movie was obscure enough to use it. I think it was too narrative to use that kind of a weird transition. Like if it was Eraserhead, it would have made more sense for me. But it was, I don't know, it was more normal. It was too normal of a film to use that kind of transition.
First of all, I disagree with you saying it's a normal movie. To me, I can't compare it to anything else, and that's why I love it so much.
And when you say it's like too narrative, if anything, I don't think it is narrative at all. Really.
Well, he's just saying it's not quite as surreal.
It's linear.
Well, and you think something weird like that would be part of something more surreal like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Something less grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what that editing style represents is whether or not it means anything. I don't really care about... I remember our film studies teacher was saying that it was supposed to disorient you and make you feel like you were on drugs because the movie's all about drugs in the 60s. And I don't buy that. I think that's kind of stupid. I just think Dennis Hopper wanted to do something different, and he saw that these French movies and these European films had a lot of jump cuts, quick cuts, weird scene transitions, and he just wanted to do something like that. He was just trying to do things differently. And that's what that represents to me. And the fact that he was the first one to kind of apply that to American film is why I like that so much.
That makes me like it even less. Because it's like, ooh, I just do it to be different. Different than the norm. Like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, like wearing like a fucking... a necklace with nothing on it.
It would annoy me if that was, like, every single transition, but I think he used it... He didn't use it for every transition. He kind of used it...
No, he only used it a couple times.
He only used it a couple times, so I thought I was kind of fine with it. But if he used it for every single transition, then yeah, I'd probably be on your side. But I don't know. I thought it fit the aesthetic of the movie. I thought it fit the whole tone and feel. I don't know.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, and that annoys me when people just do things differently for the sake of it. But it's the fact that Easy Rider was the first movie to do things differently outside of the studio system.
But I feel like if you're going to do something for the first time, have a reason behind it other than just being the first and being different. Like, there should have been some motivation behind it other than that. Like, oh, it, you know, it added to the plot or something. It didn't add to the movie in any way.
I think it adds to the movie being a time capsule. Because if you think about it, the counterculture movement, a lot of people didn't do it because they were politically involved, didn't do it because they actually wanted change. They did it just because they wanted to be different. They wanted so badly to try to break from what they thought was old and boring or backwards. And it didn't matter so much what it meant as much as it just being different. It just being new. It just being progressive.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but to me, that's not enough of a reason. Like, I wish it would have added to the film itself rather than just to the theme.
But the film is its theme.
Not necessarily. There's elements of it that are beyond the theme, where, you know, like, plot and, like, you know, like, characters and fucking, you know, how they made the film and shit, like, cinematography.
All those are supposed to serve what the film's about.
Eh. That's kind of like a film studies analogy. Like, that's not...
What do you mean it's like a film studies analogy?
Isn't that what you're doing every time you watch a movie critically?
Like, remember when we were in film studies and you and I would both kind of, like, roll our eyes a little bit every time our teacher would try to act like every single fucking thing in the movie was the director conveying something. It's like, oh, the reason they use this kind of an angle is to convey that he's, you know, he's off-put. It's like, no, it's just a fucking angle. They're just filming the character.
Oh.
So that not everything adds to the theme, including the transitions.
Well, it adds to the stuff like that, angles. They'll tell you something about the character, or they'll give the scene a certain tone or feeling, and those are what adds to the theme. Everything accents one another, everything augments, and all sets to serve what the movie's about. And our film studies teacher in high school didn't do a very good job of explaining that, but in the classes I'm in now, the teacher does a lot better job of showing that everything in a movie is intentional.
What film classes are you taking right now?
My English class is a film class as well.
Mm, okay. Anything to add, Billy?
No, I do want to point out that I want to mention going back to the film studies thing. Like, my film studies teacher, she literally pointed out in every single low angle in a film we watched, she would literally, like, chime in and say, you know, that's so supposed to represent dominance over someone. Every single low angle shot, she would pause the movie to mention that.
Because they weren't really film studies teachers. You know what I mean?
It hurt me.
Yeah. And those people weren't really film studies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I knew that. I just wanted to point that out because, like, I don't know. I know that not a lot of the people really give a shit about film studies, but I would like to be in a film studies class that actually has someone that knows what they're talking about.
Well, you're not going to really... That's going to be rare in high school.
Yeah, I know, but I would like that.
Once you get someone who knows what you're talking about, that's when it actually becomes more meaningful.
Anyway, I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Billy, give me your Easy Rider rating out of 10.
Okay, so overall, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought the first half dragged a little bit too much. If there was a little bit more. If I enjoyed the first act a little bit more, I would absolutely love this movie, but I still really enjoyed it, so I'd give this a high 8 out of 10.
This movie made me feel exhilarated, by the end at least, not in the first half. And it made me want to be like a nudist hippie, and it also made me want to be a deadhead. You know, and I really liked the theme and shit and the message, but it was just boring. So I give it a 6 out of 10.
To me, the entire movie's perfect, and it did something that had never been done and can't ever be done again. It's a 10 out of 10. Can't be anything else.
All right. So that's this week's episode of the In the Picture podcast.
Whose pick is it next week?
It's my pick.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I'm excited. We talked about one of Drew's favorite movies this week. Next week, we're talking about one of my favorite movies.
Is it The Blues Brothers?
No.
That's your favorite movie of all time, though.
I said it might be. It's always changing. I never have a definitive favorite movie.
Okay, so give us a teaser.
My tease is Iconic Snow Space.
Oh, what could that be?
I don't know.
I guess you'll have to tune in next week.
Or check our Twitter on Monday of next week.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter at InThePicturePod. Also, email us if you have any suggestions or movies you want us to talk about at InThePicturePodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you just want to tell us that we should go fuck ourselves.
You can also tweet us that.
I don't care what you tweet. Just tweet at us.
I prefer a formal email addressing us to go fuck ourselves.
I just want someone else to talk to other than these two people. So please send us stuff. Also,
saying this from a cage right now.
Yeah. Where's my water, James? I'm a little bit thirsty. Also review us. Also review us on iTunes. It helps us out. Check us out on Google Play as well. And I think that's all the plugs we have left. Do you guys have anything else to say?
I do not.
I think that's good.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
See ya.